The following is a paid program and does not necessarily reflect the views of WSIC.
All systems are a go.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your seats. Taking Care of Iredell with North Carolina State Representative Jeff McNeely is about to begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good morning, Iredell County. Hope everybody can hear me. We got a new studio here, so we're all trying to figure it out a little bit. I hear a little crackling. I don't know how bad it is out there. Hey, it's a pretty day today. Got rain all over the weekend, but now it's looking lovely outside. Got a guest calling in today, Jack Clark. Some of y'all may have voted for him, I hope. He actually had the most votes in the state auditor race, and now he's in a runoff. And so we're going to talk with him. So it's coming up, I'm pretty sure, May the 14th. So he's got to start all over again campaigning and need y'all to come out. There's actually a couple races. There's the lieutenant governor's race, and then there's the auditor race that will be on our ballot. That'll be the only thing on ours here in Iredell County. There will be some congressional districts. So, and over the weekend, the Iredell Republican Men's Club we voted to endorse Hal Weatherman for lieutenant governor, who had the most votes, and we also voted for Jack Clark for auditor because he had the most votes. So those are endorsements from the Iredell County Republican Men's Club, and it should be probably a low turnout, unfortunately, but maybe not, so let's get out and vote. It was actually a fairly low turnout, folks, for the primary, and well, the primary's over, and thank the Lord. 24% turnout for it, which I felt like kind of sad to a point. Trump ended up winning here 75-25. Nikki Haley come in second. And if anybody wants to call in, make sure of the new number, 844-788-3464. So if anybody like to call in and talk about that or anything else, please do. 844-788-3464. So love to hear from you. Also, you had Mark Robinson ended up winning the governor's race on the Republican side and Josh Stein on the Democrat side. So we got that set up for November. Looking through the ballot here at a couple other different things that happened. Pat Harrigan ended up winning the 10th District congressional race. It was close over Gray Mills, Iredell County boy. Harrigan 41, Mills 39. Also had some other ones in there. Brooke McGowan come in at 10% and Charles Eller at 7. And I'll just say this, Iredell County's the largest county in the district. We had three people from our county place second, third, and fourth. I wish if we had it to do over, maybe some of those candidates rethought that, because it's a shame that we didn't get one of our candidates across the line from Iredell County to be our congressman. But that's not what happened. So also in my race, it was fairly heated too. Ended up prevailing 55-45 over John Galena. And on down the line, if you want to look, our county commissioners, we had make sure I get to the right one here. We had Gene Haupt coming in first. We had Melissa Nieder second, Scotty Brown third, and Richard Coleman fourth. So, and fairly close there in the third and fourth and second. So all those were really close. Ended up being Melissa Nieder at 10,640, Scotty Brown 10,111, Richard Coleman 9,775. So those last two spots with those three people fairly close, but no runoff involved in that. So, also of importance, I think, Sarah Kirkman won fairly handily in our district attorney's race. She's been there a while and doing a good job. And we have a new lady, she's been with the district attorney's office for a while, but Courtney Marlowe ended up winning as far as North Carolina District Court Judge 32, seat 3. And she won fairly handily, 63-37. So, a lot of good things happened on the ballot. A lot of things kind of surprised. Did see Michelle Morrow end up beating Catherine Truitt, the incumbent there. So that was kind of something I wasn't expecting. Chad Brown ended up winning on Secretary of State. And John Hardister, I thought, would carry the North Carolina Labor Commissioner, but Luke Farley ended up getting him. So it was an interesting primary. Like I said, hard fought. A lot of things went on. You'll hear more about it probably as we go on. But the biggest thing is that we come together in unity, especially on the Republican Party here in Iredell County, because that's where the most contested races were. We hope you realize that we need to get more conservatives elected. That's how we're going to take this country back from the wokeness that there is out there. So this is real critical. And at 24%, that's sad, y'all, that that's really determined a lot of these different races, district attorney, more likely the judgeship, some of the other stuff, pretty much already determined, you know, what's going to happen in November now. County commissioners more than likely determined, we'll see. And if you're not happy with the way things went and you didn't vote, do not complain. The only way I think you should be allowed to complain is if you voted. If you didn't, then you didn't put your part in. You didn't trust the system. And believe me, in Iredell County, the votes are counted. I pulled the ticket at South River and took a picture of it, and then I saw the results printed also at the Board of Elections on their website. They match perfectly. So now they'll go back and they'll do individual random recounts of races and precincts to double-check that. So your vote really does count. I know it does here in Iredell County. We've watched this. We prepared for it. And I also think it was wonderful to know that at the end of election night, by 9 or 10 o'clock, the votes were done, counted, and they were pretty much certified. So that's the big thing. That's really important. That bill that we passed to make sure we didn't sit around and wait for 8 or 9 days to see what come in the mail, I think that's critical. So, like I said, if anybody would like to call in, I know the new number's maybe throwing you off, 844-788-3464. 2 minutes, gotcha. So anyway, going to break. We got a completely new studio here. Everything's a little different, so we're trying to figure it out. They tore everything out and started over the weekend. So if we act like we're a little bit lost, it may be just because we're not quite familiar with what we're doing here. All right, moving on to the next part of the show here. So the Supreme Court has now reinstated Trump back on the ballots in Colorado, Illinois, Maine, and anywhere else. Due process has not happened yet in his case. He has not been convicted. So, how do you disqualify somebody on the theory that you feel like they're guilty? That's exactly what happened in those states. And folks, this is a sad statement on our judicial system. This really worries me. Because if you can just conjecture that somebody's guilty and then take away some of their basic rights, which one is to vote or to run for an office, because you feel a certain way, nothing to do with the rule of law at all. It's just how you feel. And basically, you know, the Democrats went crazy when the Supreme Court ruled this. But what did they expect? What did they really expect was going to happen with this ruling? Did they really think that they were going to be allowed to just randomly keep people off the ballot because that's how they feel? Not because of the rule of law, but we feel. We watched the North Carolina Supreme Court justices do the same thing one time here lately on their district. So hang with us. Looks like we got some calls coming. All right, we'll be right back. All right, we're back here for the next part of the show. Got some callers coming on, so we're going to take Billy on line one. Hey, Billy, you brought him in yet? Hey, Billy, are you there? Are you there,
yeah,
Billy?
Here.
Hey, man, how are you doing? Yeah. It is a little fuzzy. We'll just have to work through it.
All righty. I just wanted to call and say I was just real happy that you was able to succeed in your run this time.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm not saying the other fella wasn't a good guy, but you was the one that needed to be in that position.
Well, thank you. Yeah,
I feel that strongly.
I think experience is a good thing to have right now in that position, and that's what I think we got. So I think we're going to be fine. I think we're going to be fine, and I appreciate your support and help. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I hope you have a good day now.
You too. Take care, Billy. See you. All right, I think we got another caller here. So, hey, this is Representative Jeff Menini. Is this Ronnie?
Yes, sir. Mr. Menini, how are you today?
I'm good, Ronnie. It's a little fuzzy. We're working through it, though. What's on your mind today?
Well, a quick question. Last week during the voting on Tuesday, as a matter of fact, when I come out, there was somebody doing a petition, and they wanted me to sign a petition so that they could put candidates on the ballot last minute. Are you familiar with that? Maybe I've missed something.
Yeah, the Libertarians wanted to try to collect signatures to get one of their candidates in the District 10 race. He didn't have enough. So it was Libertarian, I think, or unaffiliated. I can't remember. It might have been unaffiliated. I think it was unaffiliated. Libertarian was there. It was an unaffiliated candidate collecting signatures. His deadline actually was election day, March the 5th, to get it. So if you early voted, he still had time, and he was trying to figure out a way to do it. And so that's one of the ways they were doing it. Don't know if I really approve of that, but it was, we'll say it's legal. It's legal.
Well, yeah, I wasn't sure about it, so I didn't sign. I was just curious. I haven't heard anything else about it, so I just wanted to try to get to the bottom of it. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for pointing that out.
Have a good day.
You too. See you. Yeah, folks know that you can still get on. So we're going to go to line five now. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got?
It's Jesse, second tired patriot, buddy.
Jesse, how you doing?
Hey, got a quick question about this. Us being under a corporation, right? I really quite can't grasp this. If when y'all do lawmaking, is that under the corporation or under the state?
I don't really understand the corporation thing. I've heard some people talk about it, but that we're not in a corporation setting, in my opinion. So I'm not sure where that term comes from.
Yeah, I mean that's just it's blowing me away, man. It's like I don't understand that.
I think that's a liberal talking point. Tell you the truth, because yeah, I haven't heard any conservative talk about the this being a type of corporation.
Right. Okay. So I got one other question. I don't know if you can answer it or not. I know you got a bunch of calls coming in. That's a good thing.
That is a good thing. People listening. Yeah.
Hey. So that paper you sign when you get your ballot. Is there a way that you can go on and pull that up? And try to get a copy of that. I wish I'd have got it. Looks like when you sign something like that, they'd have to give you a receipt or whatever it is you signed.
I'm sure that they would give you a copy because our elections are completely transparent. So if you wanted to,
I come out of there thinking I signed something, or I was like, man, I should have got a copy of that. That's one thing that needs to be fixed, I believe.
Well, if you go to the Board of Elections or call them, they'll probably mail you one or email it to you, a scan or something. But they have those on file. They have those on file.
Okay.
And basically what that is you making a kind of a contract with the state that this truly is you. Showed your ID. You've done everything.
You're talking about a contract, and that's got me wondering, does that bound me giving my sovereignty up because I went and voted?
No, but it does. What they're really wanting to make sure is because when you go – basically, if something should come up where they do not believe that to truly be you, you're an imposter, then that has put you.
That's just the proof that they seen my ID and all that, and that I was able to cast a vote.
Yes, you can't come back on them. They really can't come back on you. You've made the agreement. This is me. Yes, I want a ballot. And so
gotcha.
When I say a contract, it's not really so much as that. It's just the legality in case something happens. That your ballot's proved wrong or whatever. If you early vote and let's say you early vote on the first day and you go home that evening, have a heart attack and die.
Right.
They've got to be able to make sure they can retrieve that ballot and prove that was you there, but now they'll have to go to the register of deeds to show that you've passed away to deny that ballot. Because it has to be,
right.
You have to live to election day. Early voting is good, but it doesn't guarantee anything if you do not live to election day.
I'll let you go, Jeff. Get on to another call.
Okay.
Hey, man, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that,
yes,
Jesse.
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy. We're going to grab another one here real quick. We'll go to one. Hey, this is Representative Jeff McNeely. Who we got?
Hi, this is Ralph.
Hey, Ralph, how are you?
Oh, just fine. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Yeah, two quick questions, probably easy. If somebody wants to, you know, volunteer, be involved supporting Republican Party, what would they most likely do if you click volunteer on the website?
I mean, if you wanted to, you can go to either the men's group or the women's group or just the executive committee, which you have to actually to have a vote. You can come to the meeting and watch and may even, you know, get on a committee or something, not necessarily, but possibly. But yeah. The easiest thing to do is probably go to either the men's or the women's group, and women can go to the men's and men's can go to the women and volunteer through the actions that they do. There's two different men's clubs. One of them just met this past Saturday, and the Idle Patriot Men's Club, I think, is going to meet this coming Thursday. I think this Thursday. So, two different men's groups, and actually two different women's groups also. One down at the lake, right there in Mooresville, and then another one that's here, and they usually meet at Twisted Oak the last Thursday of the month.
Yeah, great. That sounds awesome. And then one other quick question here. If somebody wants to contribute to Republican candidates, but they'd rather not use WinRed, they don't want to get all the text messages or whatnot, do you just mail that in, or what is the alternative way to give?
Yeah, if you would like to not participate through, like, the credit card, debit card portal, the WinRed, I know even on my page or just about anybody's page or the state Republican Party, you can mail a check. You can go on websites like jeffmcneely.com that has the address to mail it, or you can hit the button. Either way. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Thanks.
And be honest with you, that'll save 3%. It's not bad to get a check in the mail. It's not bad.
Yeah. Thanks, sir. I appreciate it. I thought that, it's interesting, the other one, the blue, is very similar. I was wondering if it was even the same company that's sponsoring that. And they, I think in their fine print says they're taking over 5% for themselves. And I don't know, just didn't seem like the best system.
Yeah, the WinRed is they're totally different from blue. It's a totally different thing.
Okay.
And they only take 3%. But 3% is 3%. So it adds up. It adds up.
Yeah, you betcha. Thank you, sir, and congratulations again.
Appreciate it, Ralph. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, folks, look like we're gonna get back to a little bit of talk here. If anybody else wants to call in, please do 844-788-3464. Let me know what you got going on. Talking a little bit about the rule of law that we left off, I find it strange how justices, people who are supposedly our top judicial judges in each of these states, can just do something that they feel. Not rule of law, but how they feel. We watched that happen here in North Carolina with redistricting. They couldn't prove that any of them were actually, in this last go, racially biased or gerrymandered to the point that it would bring up any kind of an issue in court. They just didn't like them. So, moving forward about like and dislike, is TikTok done? That's the question. President Biden has said if the lawmakers send him a bill to force a sale or dismantle it, he'll sign it. Now, what's going on basically, folks, TikTok has real close ties with the Chinese Communist Party. And do we have a caller? All right, we'll take a caller. We got time maybe for real quick. Yep. Let's go ahead and pull him up.
Close ties.
Hey, this is Representative Jeff Manet. We got about 2 minutes or less. Who we got going here?
Oh, my name is Courtney Hayes.
You're going to have to turn your radio down.
Can you
say it again?
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, turn your radio down if you would. It's going to cause an echo. Can you hear me now?
Okay, it's off.
Okay.
Yes, sir, it's off.
Who's this? Who we got?
My name is Courtney Hayes. I'm right here out of Statesville.
Hey, Courtney, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing awesome, man. Hey, first, I want to say congratulations to you, Mr. McNeely. Man, I definitely got your vote in. I haven't voted in a while as far as locally-wise. I did take a look at, the other candidate and yourself, man, and I pretty much just went off policy that you guys were pushing, man, and I like what you got going on, man. So I just want to say, first of all, congratulations on that.
Well, thank you so much, Corey. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Number, and I do have a quick question, though. So about like 2, maybe 3 years ago, right, I already knew that Big Dog Trump was going to get in the office, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had went on ahead and I reached out to Patrick McHenry and everything because I wanted to pretty much get a tour of the White House and maybe even, you know, get a chance to meet the big guy. Is that something that you take care of, like your office? What would I have to, because I reached out to him again and I want...
Probably all we'd end up being able to do is referring you to Patrick and to his people or whoever's your next congressman. We don't have any ties to that. We got about 30 seconds here, so I got to talk quick. But we'll help you in any way. We'll put you to the people that you need to talk to. But we don't really set up anything like that. That has to be done congressionally. Corey, we got about 10 seconds here, so I appreciate you calling in. If you need help, you contact my office. We'll work any way we can to get you whatever you need, though.
Well, sure. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. All right, folks, stay tuned. We got Jack Clark coming on second part of the show.
Stay with us. We'll have more Taking Care of Iredell with NC Representative Jeff McNeely after these messages on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Taking Care of Iredell continues. Here's your host, NC Representative Jeff McNeely on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
All right, back here for the second part of the show. I think we got our guest, Jack Clark, running for state auditor on the line. Let's see if we can bring him in. All right, Jeff. Hey, Jack, are you there?
Yep, I'm here. Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. It's a little fuzzy. I hope it's clear going out over the radio, but we got a new studio set up today, so we're working through all the bugs. But, hey, man, congratulations on coming in top vote getter in the primary.
Thank you so much. Very excited. And I actually carried Iredell, so I knew your voters were smart. So
they are.
they selected me.
They are smart, and I tried to talk you up best I can, and glad to see it. But here we go again. So is it May the 14th? Am I telling people the right date?
Yep, May 14th, and there's going to be a full early voting session. So full 17 days of early voting plus the March 14th election.
Lord mercy, here we go again, I swear.
I know. I feel like a groundhog. Saw my shadow, 10 more weeks of campaigning.
That's unfortunately, you're exactly right. And hey, just to let you know, your billboard is still up on 40, so if you want to call the people and try to negotiate, now's your time. So you still got some leverage there. It's still up, so that's good. I don't know how many people have seen the billboard. It's out on 40 going eastbound near the weight station. So Jack's got one up there. It's been up there a while. Well, Jack, all right, you know, you that lead vote getter in the primary, actually pretty substantially, but, you know, the way our system works, elections, if it's less than 30%, the second close person can't call a runoff. And what was it, like five people or six people in the auditor race, wasn't there? How many?
Yeah, there were six people.
Six people. So, and, you know, it's going to be hard to get 30% when you got that many. And no offense, but a lot of people, you know, auditor's not the sexiest position, if any of them are, I don't know. But so a lot of people don't know that position, actually what it does, how it works. And so it's hard to get a lot of oomph to really get your name out there and do it. But you did. Evidently, and I think you did it grassroots style. But before we talk about the campaign experience, tell everybody a little bit about who Jack Clark is. You've been on the show, but people don't remember real well. So who is Jack Clark, and tell us about yourself.
Well, as a reminder to everyone, I was the only one campaigning who has a master's in accounting, a CPA license, and spent a whole career in auditing. So auditing is in my background. Most recently, I work for a budget chair in the House, one of your coworkers. I work for Kyle Hall. And so I've seen the budget process, which means I know where the money's supposed to go, and I've got the skills to audit where it actually goes.
Yep. Yeah. Now, Jack, are you married? I can't remember if you are or not.
Yes. Yes. My wife and I live in Raleigh, and we are expecting the birth of our daughter in July.
Well, you have been busy, not just campaigning. So I guess those times when you've been gone and gone, it's good to come back home, it sounds like. So there you go. There you go. Congratulations on that. So you're going to...
Thank you so much.
Hopefully you're going to be an auditor for the state of North Carolina and a daddy here all about the same time. So there you go. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's great news. That is great news. Well, tell us a little bit now about your experience out there on the campaign trail, because I'm sure you ran into a lot of questions and a lot of people asking a lot of different questions. So tell us some of the things that happened that allowed you to explain to them just exactly what the state auditor does. And maybe even tell us that too, because I think people need to understand what you will be doing if you're elected to this.
So the main purpose of the state auditor is to go into anywhere that receives state money and make sure they're using that money for the right purposes. So the auditor is not the one deciding where the money goes. That's the General Assembly. The auditor kind of just checks to make sure nothing's going to things it's not supposed to. On the campaign trail, you know, people don't know much about the auditor position, so a lot of times I didn't get many questions. But when I told people I was the only CPA running and the only one who had spent a career as an auditor, they would tell me, oh, you would think that would be a requirement. But unfortunately, it's not. Another thing people will do a lot is to say, hey, you know, can you audit this thing or can you audit that thing? And I would tell them, you know, I can. I'll consider it. But one of my campaign messages is that when I get into office, I'm just going to do a full analysis of what needs to be audited. If I commit to everywhere that people came up to me and said, hey, this needs to be audited, it would take me 100 years to get through all those things. I got to be strategic, and I know how to do those selections because I've done it in my career before. But everywhere can and should be audited. Everywhere needs to know that someone may come in behind them and make sure that they're doing everything right. But my main concern is everywhere I audit, I want to leave better off than I found it. Because everywhere I can put in better processes and controls to help them track their money better and help them spend their money better. So I'm not as concerned about where specifically I audit, but I just know that everywhere I audit, I want to make sure fraud and waste of taxpayer dollars doesn't happen in the future.
All right. Well, you know, the lady that has been in the office, I think, for the last 12 years, Beth Woods, she had some issues, and so she decided to step down. And once she made that decision to step down, ladies and gentlemen out there in the audience, you could see real quick that the Democratic Party in North Carolina kind of turned on her. They wanted to make sure she got out of the way. And so now they've appointed a lady who her only qualification that I know of is she was the chairman of the Board of Commissioners for Wake County. Other than that, she has no qualifications that I'm aware of in accounting or anything. Do you know much about the lady that is now in the auditor's position? I'm trying to recall her name, and I can't even really do that, and I apologize for that.
Yeah, I'm not going to say my opponent's names.
Don't blame me.
this lady, she was, she's a lawyer. She ran for labor commissioner in 2020 and I guess got the consolation prize as auditor. No accounting background, certainly no audit background. And, my opponent in the runoff is another lawyer. And so I figure, voters should send an auditor to the auditor's election to face off against the lawyer with no accounting background. But she seems, from everything I've heard, she's a perfectly nice person, you know, passionate about public service, but just not doesn't have any sort of background that she would need for this position.
Well, I'll talk just a smidge about Beth Wood, because that's who has had the thing for a while. And I think Beth did a fine job. I really did. You know, she really took no direction from the legislature as far as things we would like to check on. We could make recommendations. She might do it. She might not do it. And we're hoping that the next auditor will work very closely with us and allow us to be able to track these programs and understand if they're even feasible, because without the ability to audit a program, to see how the money was spent, see if it was spent wisely, see if there was actually an effect. Did the money actually do what we wanted it to do with this program? How do we know how to govern is what I've always said. And luckily, Beth Woods, you know, when she did do something, a certain division or, you know, one of the different departments. We usually got right on that because we saw an issue from that. But it was more of a reaction from the legislature than it was doing it beforehand. So, being able to be positive and moving forward with it instead of just waiting around to see what was going to happen. So, you know, having that relationship that you've had with the House, working through Kyle Hall's office and seeing the budget and knowing it, we feel like that we'll have a good relationship with you to get us to help us improve our government operations.
Yeah, absolutely. The relationships I've built in my, only being there just over a year in the General Assembly, but I've built really good relationships and definitely willing to help out wherever I can.
Yeah. Well, we always kind of felt like you were our auditor auditing the auditor. So I know that sounds a little redundant, but, you know, we felt like you had to help us to be able to keep that short leash. And what we could do, and given great insight, the budget, it's not fancy stuff that happens. It's roll up your sleeves and go to work for about 4 or 5, 6 months. It seems like to get it done, and it's $30 billion a year worth of money, taxpayer money, that we have to make sure we appropriate to the right place and at the right amount to be able to get the job done, but no more, so we don't waste. And so, having you in the room, I always felt like that, we had our own auditor to try to help us make sure that these things did actually come to fruition. So that was, to me, Jack, that was a blessing having you there, because we knew we had somebody who knew how to crunch numbers and knew how to make sure that there was something, we didn't get started off on the wrong foot before the money actually ever even got out the door. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, like I said, always happy to help.
All right. Well, let me ask you this, and we got about a minute before we go to hard break, so we'll probably just get the question out good and then have to come back and answer it. But what's some of the funny things maybe that happened to you? I can tell some crazy stories with my primary I just had, but you're working all over the state. Maybe tell us a little bit of some of the crazy things that went on while you were out there on the campaign trail. I know you met a lot of people, and I know you had a lot of people helping you. You had to be able to do this. It doesn't just happen by magic. So I'm going to probably talk a little bit till we get to break and then let you come back after the break and tell us a little bit about some of the different things that happened. But I know you had a lot of people working for you at different polls and different things. How hard was it to do the grassroots effort? And then we'll take that break and come back and hear some of the unique things that happened to you. So how hard is it to build that grassroots?
Happy to say after the break.
That's right. All right. So y'all just hold tight, because we got a lot going on and we're almost there. So folks, just hang with us. We got the last part of the show coming up. Jack Clark running for auditor in the election. So be with us here. Hurry up and get back.
We'll be back with more of NC Representative Jeff McNeely and Taking Care of Iredell after this short break on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Iredell on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
All right, back here for the last part of the show. Got Jack Clark running for North Carolina auditor. Got to kill this here. Thought I did here. All right, technical difficulty. Jack, are you still there?
Yep. Can you hear me?
I got you. You know, when we left right there before we took the break, we were starting to get in kind of the grassroots, because I know you had to build that to kind of get what you've done. So tell us a little bit about how you went about that and what you did to come in first place.
Well, I didn't start out with much of a network or much support. So I just had to talk to people, give them my story, give them my background. And a lot of people are very willing to help, especially within the GOP grassroots, all the different counties. People are very passionate. People really want to help out candidates they like. And so it was just talking to as many people as possible, sometimes just with email. There's 100 counties, and, it's impossible to reach all 100 of them if I have a full-time job in the GA that that I had. But, you know, my favorite part of the campaign by far was talking to all the voters, to all the grassroots people, asking them to put in a good word for me, handing out the materials for them. It was a lot more subtle and a lot more quiet than maybe some other campaigns. You know, I didn't campaign on being loud or having a bunch of TV ads. It was really just talking to people, and then they talked to people, and those people talked to people. And I also was blessed to have some family come down and help out at the polls in particular. Several of the poll workers agreed to hand out my material at the polls after I shared my story with them. So it's just talking to as many people as possible, which I'm an introvert. I mean, I'm an accountant, so that's pretty much a given. But, you know, it's sometimes tough for me to get too much out there. But, you know, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, I was able to have the strength to do as much as I needed. And I was just barely. I won by 1%. So I was given exactly as much strength as I needed for this campaign.
Well, you know, praise the Lord. I hope he continues to give you just enough strength to get what you need done, to get this done. And you know, the scary thing is it will be probably a fairly low turnout in most of the different counties, just because unless they got something else going on, really is going to be two statewide races. And so that's the way it'll be here in Iredell, which will make it kind of interesting. So praying that you do get it done. You know, you didn't spend a whole lot of money, I don't believe, at least not compared to your challenger now in the primary. You know, how did you do it? Because usually it's a money game these days.
Yeah, well, I knew that I wasn't going to have the most money, and I knew that I wasn't going to have the most time on my hands. So I really had to hone in on message. You know, my opponent in the runoff, he spent about $500,000 in that race. But, you know, I spent a little bit just targeting certain areas, trying to get my message out as I can. But I'll say this, if I'm as efficient with my campaign money as I was, and I'll be efficient with your tax money.
That's right. That's right. Well, and you know, they usually say the way the ballot shapes up that, you know, if you're first on the ballot for something like auditor or secretary of state, some of the offices that don't get a lot of glamour, they usually say that's a 5 or 10% pop right there a lot of times. But the number that come out, or not number, excuse me, letter that they draw out of a hat was D. So actually, you were put at the very bottom of the ballot, if I'm not mistaken. So that was the complete disadvantage, and still come out on top. So that to me says a lot.
Yeah. Well, what I would tell people is, as Jesus said, the last shall be first, and that's what happened.
Well, and I'd said earlier too, we actually endorsed you. The Iredell County Republican Men's Club endorsed you for this runoff. And so I hope you can take that and use it to help and in any advantage you can. That's when we do those things, you and Hal Weatherman. Yep. So good luck with that. Let me ask you this, you know, and we've asked this question before and kind of talked about it already in the show a little bit, but what are some of the things that you would like to do with the state auditor's office that maybe they're not doing now, or maybe you can see how they could do better?
Yeah, I touched on this a little before, but, you know, pretty much everyone sees the auditor's position is just hammering people who commit fraud and waste the taxpayer money. And I'm certainly going to do that, and everyone knows it. But really helping people do a better job with their jobs. And I'm going to focus on, you know, anywhere that hasn't been audited in a while, the stuff that's getting the most money, the stuff that's the highest risk, and really going in there and working more as a partner than as an adversary to help them do better. Because, you know, meeting so many state employees even on the campaign trail, most everyone working for North Carolina is good, honest people, and they're just trying to do the best they can. And so I want to go in there and I want to help them do the best they can. Now, of course, people who are doing wrong, they will be brought to justice. We will find that out. That's just the process of auditing and asking the right questions. But going in and just assuming people are doing the wrong thing isn't usually correct. And so going in there and really partnering with people to improve the state, because that's why I'm doing this. I want to serve the state. I want to use my skills that I've developed over my career and really make things better for people. So that's really what drove me to run, and that's what's going to drive how I operate in the auditor's office.
Okay. Well, and one thing I would recommend, if possible, is, you know, we now have two in the House and in the Senate, both two government operations oversight committees that we, you know, those are new that we haven't had before. And we need to work hand in hand with you or whoever gets elected to the auditor's position,
yeah.
Hopefully you, because they kind of go hand in hand. You know, our job is to bring the people in and ask some of the tough questions and try to figure out if we're getting what we want out of this particular program, department, whatever. And so we would definitely love to have the auditor be there before us, and that way we have an official report in our hands to see where the problem may lie, what's going on. I'm looking forward to working with you, I hope, in this auditor's position, because I am on government operations and the committee, and so I look forward to that. And I think this will be a good way for government to sharpen itself and to improve.
Yeah, the auditor is supposed to find the objective truth.
Exactly.
We're kind of like a judge in that case. So we're going to get you the objectively correct information and then and bring that to you. That's the auditor's goal.
All right. Well, you know, we got just a little bit of time left, about a minute or so. So do this for me. Give us your 1 minute why we should vote for Jack Clark again for auditor.
Well, I am educated, trained, and experienced in auditing. I am specifically an auditor, which prepares me for the audit role. You know, I wasn't well-connected or well-funded like some of my opponents, but I still managed to come up first. And so Republican voters can vote for me safely, knowing that I'll be efficient with campaigning for the general. And going up against an attorney with no accounting background, it's going to be very helpful to be able to pitch my background. And, you know, I've already won one primary, so winning a second primary is going to be no sweat.
I hear you. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Jack, good luck out there. We appreciate you and the effort you put forth, and we're just going to try to keep working for you and make sure we get out and vote for you. So good luck.
All right. Thank you so much, and congrats on your primary win as well.
Oh, well, thank you, Jack. I appreciate that. All right, sir. You take care. Hope to see you soon.
Yep. See you soon.
Bye. All right. Folks, we ended the interview just a little bit early because I wanted to explain something that was on the ballot that brought about a lot of confusion, and I'm going to try to get that done here in about a minute or so. But at the very bottom of your ballot, there was an initiative put forth by the county commissioners that basically said instead of having a 2-year term for the third place vote getter, we would now have a 4-year term. And so, and it passed. It was close. And what that did to a point, now coming up in November, all three of the top vote getters will have 4-year terms on the county commission. There will no longer be a 2-year term for that third place person. And there's pros and cons in that. The pro of it is now that there's, it builds more party unity moving forward. One person won't be left at his 2 years, maybe worked really hard, done a whole lot, and then they're going to have to do it again in 2 years. So kind of for the candidate, it made life a little simpler, a little easier. The con of it is every 2 years, with the way it was set up, you would elect a new majority to the board. So three people would go on a 5-person board. So things could change if it's not going in the right directions. In 26 now, there'll only be 2 commissioners up, not 3. So understand that. That's what that did by passing that. It took away some of the animosity going into November from a primary. Nobody's fighting. So we're going to go ahead now. I hope that explained a little bit. We're going to go ahead and do our prayer here, and it's going to be kind of a long one. Dear Heavenly Father, dear Lord, tough primary, tough elections, dear Lord. A lot of feelings are hurt. A lot of things were said shouldn't have been said. I hope people understand. I hope they're asking you for forgiveness if they told something that wasn't true on somebody. And, dear Lord, I pray that you give those who have something told on the strength. And I pray you watch after us. Lead us down your path. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. All right, folks, until next week, take care.
You've been listening to North Carolina Representative Jeff McNeely. Join Jeff again next Monday morning at 11:05 for Taking Care of Iredell on News Talk WSIC.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.